Josiah Steele joined them for their meal, noticed that the tense mood was still lingering, and tried to explain the purpose of the testing to the six Outlanders.
Everyone who comes here has to prove themselves worthy of acceptance into the Children of the Rock. That's why we all have to face the testing.
What if a woman arrived with half a dozen little children?
Well, I guess the rules can always be bent some.
But not for us. I guess arriving with just one child doesn't count.
Guess not. Seems there's too many aces on the line between you and Brother Wolf. Too many rivers for you both to cross.
Steele helped himself from a small iron cauldron of thick pork and lentil soup. The food was very good, satisfying to the palate and rich, well-flavored, without the oppressive bitterness of the previous evening's meal. Also, Ryan watched carefully, taking the precaution of checking that he and the others ate out of the same cooking pots that the members of the Children of the Rock had dined from. Mildred slipped away to go back to their cabin and check on Doc's progress, returning with a worried look on her face. She squatted alongside Ryan, putting her mouth close to his ear.
I think he's about at his worst. At least that's what I hope. Temperature's sky high, but his heart and respiration are steady.
Conscious?
Sort of. I think he recognized me, but he's on the far side of knowing where he is and what's going on.
At least they won't be making the old buzzard take part in this stoop testing.
No, I guess not.
The meal was ending, the dishes taken away by the women, the scraps devoured by the lean mongrels that scavenged around the vill. Joshua Wolf arose.
Testing time is upon us, my beloved brothers and sisters, and Outlanders.
There was a hum of excitement around the open area that had the central fire at its heart. The residents of Hopeville moved quickly to fill it. It seemed like the whole settlement was there, with the Sekhmen of the day all armed with their Hawes Montana Marshall revolvers, many of them also hefting their Winchester rifles. Ryan suspected that the display of arms was for their benefit, not to hold off any potential attack by the Apaches who lived among the trees. Ryan stood and stretched, savoring the powerful scent of the surrounding pines.
We're ready as we can be, Brother Wolf.
Then let's get at it!
Wolf moved to the center and slapped his good hand against his thigh.
All right, now we can begin. Will the Outlanders all stand before us?
Ryan took Christy by the hand, leading the others into the center of the ragged circle of men and women.
Tell us all your names and where you come from.
Name's Ryan Carter, from the Villa Front Royal up in the Sheds. And this is my son, Dean.
I'm Christy Roth, and I come from the Villa of Harmony.
Jack Lawn, from West Lowellton.
Where's that?
Near Lafayette, Louisiana.
Swampy? Look at his hair. Beauty in a swampy.
Jack tried to ignore the man, though the teenager's knuckles whitened noticeably. J.B. took a step forward.
I'm John Dix, originally from Cripple Creek. Since then, I've been all over Deathlands.
And my name is Mildred Winona Wyatt. Father was a preacher man. I was born in Lincoln, Nebraska.
How about the old man?
Doc's ill.
Doesn't signify. Need to know who he is, where he comes from.
Dr. Theophilus Algernon Tanner. Degree in science from Harvard, and in philosophy from Oxford in England. Comes from the Villa of South Stratford up in the Green Hills of Vermont. Anything else you want to know?
Ryan challenged Owsley with his eyes. The man looked down at his feet and wouldn't meet his stare.
Well, I guess we know about all we need to know about these folks. Nothing out on the surface to stop them from being accepted by us here in Hopeville. So we rest things in the hands of the blessed Lord Jesus. He can decide if they are fit to join us as Children of the Rock.
There was a moment of stillness, which was broken by the sound drifting through the open door of the cabin, of Doc having one of his rending fits of coughing. As he addressed the group of Outlanders, Joshua Wolf's hand rested on the pearlized grips of his big revolver.
The testing is carried out one at a time, alone. One of you against the best we have to offer in the Ville. The choice of combat is yours. Who goes first?
Combat?
Combat.
Who goes first?
Up to you, Brother Carter.
Me.
Ryan was taken aback as Mildred stepped forward. He had been about to volunteer himself, but she had beaten him to it. Mildred smiled at J.B. and kissed him lightly on the cheek.
Don't worry.
You want to go first, lady?
Yeah, I do.
Very well. But what kind of weapon do you choose to use?
Can I have my blaster back for the testing? Is that permitted?
Oh, surely. You want to shoot against our best man or best woman?
Man. Who claims to be the finest sharpshooter in Hopeville?
Sounds like Brother Carlo Caitlin. Step forward, Brother Caitlin.
Caitlin emerged from the crowd. He looked to be around 30, with long, light brown, shoulder-length hair. Ryan noticed that both his hands lacked any fingernails, and the skin around his mouth was puckered with old scarring. He smirked as he moved forward, with a slight swagger. A .44 caliber Winchester 94 was hung over his shoulder, with a telescopic sight fixed to the barrel that Ryan didn't recognize.
Will you accept this woman's challenge?
Take her on any time. Not like a real testing, Brother Wolf. Shooting against a woman.
I can definitely use my own blaster. Check the load myself, have a little time to go over it, sight it in. No weasel word trickery.
Surely. And the Lord of all armaments will pronounce the verdict for us.
Time's wasting, brothers and sisters. I say we set to it here now. Why not in the name of St. Nugent?
Wolf kept his patient smile pasted firmly in place and turned to Josiah Steele.
Go get her blaster, Brother Steele. Sister Wife, I imagine that Brother Dix might wish to go over it with you. You may have 15 minutes from now.
Josiah ran to Wolf's headquarters and returned with the blaster. Caitlin did little to contain his impatience as J.B. gave the weapon a lightning field strip and clean. Then he quickly and neatly clicked the weapon back together and wiped a layer of thin gun oil off his fingers with a length of cotton rag.
It's fine. Ready to go.
Mildred took it, automatically checking the load, feeling the familiar balance as she weighed it in her right hand. Meanwhile, Wolf had ordered targets to be put in place.
You happy with your blaster against his long gun?
Guess so. Unless they set up the match at a half mile or over. Then I'd struggle.
All right now. Standard match target of 9 inches across. Graded in regular circles from 10 through to 1 point. Shoot just 4 rounds at each distance, beginning at 25 yards, then 50, then 100. Finally at 200 paces. Anyone object to that? How about you, Sister Mildred?
Mildred shrugged as she walked calmly to the mark scratched in the dirt at the end of the Ville's main street. The heavy Czech revolver was at her side, her thumb already on the shortfall cocking hammer.
Doesn't matter to me.
The targets had been nailed to pine trees, one above the other, out at the agreed distances.
Sister Mildred will aim at the higher target and Brother Caitlin at the lower. We'll spin a silver coin for the rat to shoot first or second.
Without further warning, Wolf flipped the glittering coin into the air.
Heads.
Wolf neatly caught the coin, peered at it, and then quickly pocketed it.
Heads it is!
I'll go first.
Ryan glanced at Mildred, his expression clearly questioning whether she wanted to object to the blatantly unfair tossing. But she simply shook her head. Caitlin readied himself on the mark, slowly brought the rifle up to his right shoulder, and squinted two-eyed along the barrel. The big .44 caliber blaster was as steady as a rock. The man licked his lips and held his breath, his finger creeping onto the spur trigger.
Open fire at will, Brother Caitlin, and may blessed Jesus the marksman guide your bullets to their target.
A tall man, as skinny as a lath, stood at a safe distance from the target, holding a tiny brass folding telescope that looked like it dated back into the 1800s. He raised it to his left eye, hesitated a moment, fiddling with the delicate adjustment.
What say you, Brother Gardner?
Looks like a 10. Again, a 10.
Brother Caitlin's third and fourth shots were also dead center bullseye.
40 from 40. The saints be praised, Brother Caitlin. Your turn now, sister. You may shoot at will.
Mildred stood sideways on, her whole body relaxed. Ryan knew that the woman's skill with her revolver was unparalleled. It was the sort of skill that had died out after the long winters. He had no doubt that she could outshoot anyone he'd ever seen in all Deathlands. Caitlin was better than adequate with his rifle, but at only 25 paces, that wasn't saying a lot. Mildred aimed and fired quickly. All four shots seemed to run into one another. Brother Gardner took some time with his verdict.
Looks like all four through the same hole.
Good shooting, Mildred!
Fish in a barrel.
In the next round, both of them again scored maximums at 50 yards. Attention shifted then to the 100-yard target, a tiny square of white pinned to a ponderosa.
Me first, I reckon.
Ryan had always been a keen student of body language, and he noticed that something of the spring had gone from the shootist's step. He moved a little more slowly, as if his confidence had been eroded by Mildred's performance so far. He was firing more slowly at each distance, taking around 15 seconds at the 100-yard marker, giving the skinny man time to check each shot. His first two shots were perfect, but the third came up short.
9.
What?
Sorry, brother. Clipped the line between 8 and 9, but I call it a clear 9.
The last shot hit the bullseye again, giving him 119 out of a possible 120. It was pretty fair shooting, though Ryan reckoned that he could have probably matched it himself. Mildred stepped up to the mark, quickly and easily scoring bullseyes with her four shots.
On to the last set of markers!
Wolf pointed into the distance at 200 paces, where the target seemed almost invisible. In the crowd, Jack turned to Ryan and pointed to Brother Caitlin.
Huh, he's sweating.
The teenager was right. A thin sheen of perspiration lined Caitlin's forehead, trickling down the side of his nose onto his stubbled chin. Wolf held up his good hand for quiet.
When you're ready, brother.
I'm ready.
9.
Take your time, brother. Just take all the time you need.
Yeah, puts more pressure on the son of a bitch.
8.
Shit!
Caitlin walked around his mark in a small circle, kicking his heels into the damp ground.
2 more shots left. Make them count, brother.
4.
God damn it all to hell!
You sure about that, Brother Gardner?
Fear so. Just a 4. 1 round remaining. Brother Caitlin's score stands at from 150. His score is 144.
140.
No. Check your numbering, Brother Gardner.
It's 140. He missed 1 point up to this last round of shots, and he scored a 9 and an 8 and the last 4. That's 9, plus 1 makes 10. 140 even.
That woman won't hit fuck all at this range with her toy. Nothing to worry about, Carlo!
The barrel of the rifle was visibly trembling as the man took aim for the final time. With an effort, he lowered it, wiping sweat from his forehead. He sighted again and squeezed the trigger.
7. And that makes 147 out of 160.
Mildred hadn't missed a single shot yet, putting them all into the center of her target with a monotonous regularity. Now she stood there on the mark, calm and unflurried, the light wind tugging at her beaded hair, the long-barreled Czech revolver seeming an extension of her body. Her first shot scored another 10. That gave her 130 out of 130, meaning she needed only 17 from the last 30 to win. Mildred aimed again, but just as she was squeezing the trigger, Wolf dropped his own hand blaster onto the dirt. The interruption coincided perfectly with Mildred's 14th shot.
Bastard!
Sorry. Why, it just plain slipped.
How many?
Let her take that again.
No. No worries, friend.
9!
Mildred needed 8 to tie from the last 2 shots, and 9 to win it. Everyone's attention was focused on the minuscule square of white card. Ignoring the excitement, a tiny copper-winged scarab moth had landed on a branch just above the mark, its poisonous tendrils tasting the air. Mildred aimed.
A complete miss! That there's a miss.
Ryan saw what Brother Gardner did not, however. A venomous little insect fluttering lifelessly to lie pulped on the ground below. Ryan looked from the moth to Mildred. She was smiling calmly.
Last shot, Sister Mildred!
Thanks. I'd lost count.
She fired her last shot without even seeming to sight. instantly starting to reload her blaster, oblivious to Brother Gardner's impending call.
How many? Did she miss the target again, did she?
10.
10. She scored a 10 with her last shot. The woman wins.
Mildred offered Caitlin her outstretched hand, but he spun on his heel and stalked off, furious. Wolf threw both arms up to gain the crowd's attention.
All right, calm down. Outlander wins the first part of the test, and no quarrels with that. Finest shooting I ever saw. Now we move on to the second part. It's not over yet.
Grinning, Wolf turned to Ryan and put his mouth up to his ear, for all the world looking like a lover with a sweet secret to share.
You've got that one eye. It's not over yet.